Robert Schuller, when he was the pastor of the Crystal Cathedral in California, said that tough times don't last, but tough people do. We are slowed down by tough times, but we don't need to be defeated by them. Randy Posh was a professor at Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh, and he developed pancreatic cancer, and before he died, he gave a last lecture. And I think that's available either in print or some other media. But if you haven't read that, I encourage you to do it. All the things he learned and he wanted to share, and I remember seeing it, the video, and it was a packed auditorium. And one of the things that he said that I always remember is that when you come to a wall, it's not there to keep you out. It's there to find out how badly you want to get past it. Do you want to climb over it? Do you want to dig under it? Do you want to go around it? It's really there to keep the insincere out. It's there to see how badly you want to get through it to the other side. You know, tough times don't defeat us, particularly when our faith is strong and we live by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's God who's with us in those tough times when we worship Him. In the book of Job, Job suddenly found himself to be without everything. He lost his family, he lost his crops, his everything. And his friends came to try to console him, and it ended up with their arguments with him over what was happening and what was the cause of this. They created more stress for him than it seemed that the original did. And at one point, Job says to them, though God slay me, yet will I trust him. God is with those who worship him and keep faithful in times of stress and trouble. There's a lot of strange things that we find when we read in the first 20 chapters of the book of Revelation. And then we get to chapter 21, and it kind of, John explodes with a message with songs of angels and glorious images. You know, Jesus taught us to say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Revelation is the response. This vision that Frank read is the response to that petition. You know, we long for a reign of peace and harmony where every tear will stop. No more death, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more crying. We want to live where there is no darkness anymore. We want to live in a place where there's security for everyone. We want to live in a place where there's a beacon of hope that shines on everyone. And everybody can see it. Revelation was the last book that was written in the canon, or table of contents, if you will. John Calvin wrote a commentary on every book in the Bible except Revelation. Martin Luther, the one who kind of nailed his 95 theses on that church door and started what we know as the Reformation, he wasn't fond of Revelation either. He said that there's no prophecy of God in it. You'll find nothing about Jesus in that book. But later, he seemed to change his mind. But at the time of the 95 Theses, that was his thing about Revelation. The book isn't about the end of the earth. It's about a new earth. God and Jesus say, I am creating a new heaven and a new earth. And here we see the vastness and the pureness of this vision of the new Jerusalem. Some translations say it was 1,500 miles wide and 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles high, filled with precious stones and gold, gold so pure that it was clear. There was no need for light because Christ was the light of the city. There was no need for security systems. The gates of the city would stand open day after day. The rivers of life flowed through it with healing. And so is it any wonder that people turn to this vision in Revelation in tough times and in hurtful times, where Nazi Germany, where people turn to this vision of hope? The great plagues, tsunamis, earthquakes, tornadoes. Let me suggest that Revelation is both a comfort and a call to arms. It's comforting to us when we're in times of trouble and sorrow and persecution, perhaps, and to know that there's a time that's coming when there's going to be no more tears and no more pain and no more sorrow. But it's also a call to arms. It's a call to arms to see this vision of the New Jerusalem and to see where it is that God is calling us to be. And then to look around ourselves and see where we are and see the gap between the two. It's a call to arms, to work with God's Holy Spirit to close that gap. A.E. Harvey writes, "It was never intended either to satisfy idle curiosity about the future or to breed complacency by dwelling on the joys in store for the elect. What it read in the future was always, in one form or another, a judgment on the present. Its immediate message, therefore, was the necessity of vigilance and faithfulness here and now." Look at the vision. No more tears. No more tears shed in Aurora, Illinois, at the workplace shootings or in the educational settings of Highlands Ranch, Colorado, or the University of North Carolina at Charlotte, or the violence in the city streets like in Charlottesville, Virginia. No more pain. No more pain of cancer or broken promises or broken relationships or broken dreams. Traditional estrangements will end. Israelis and Palestinians together, the child playing at the den of the poisonous snakes, the lion and the lamb laying down together. Religious communities talking with one another. The prejudice in black and white and Hispanic and Asian and Arab communities. The rich, the poor, the haves, the have-nots. Estrangements end. Look at the images of the new earth and what do you see all around us? We see the gap. There's racial divisions and mistrust. Lines are drawn between spiritual communities, age discrimination, whether it's directed toward the old or the young. Over half of our nation's population live in urban areas, and there's a divide between rural and urban. The vision of John is a judgment on how far we've missed the mark in what God is calling and will have it to be in the future. There's a call to arms, to get busy and to work with the Holy Spirit to bring more and more of that realm into being, to have that gap narrow. God calls us by this vision to work toward our vision and having the communities be a place of safety and security. The gates of the city are open day and night. And a beacon of hope to everybody. The nations will walk by its light. But some people will say, well, we need to wait until God actually creates this new heaven and earth. But that's not really true. Look at the disciples. Look at those that Jesus called to learn from him at the very beginning. They vacillated. They were the model of courage one day, and the next day they were afraid. They were soaking it in all in at the feet of Jesus one day, and the next day it was like they hadn't learned a thing. But the apostles were the building blocks of this new city, the foundation of the wall. And so you and I become the building blocks of this vision that God has called into being for us. You and I are the means of channeling God's grace in this earth, empowered by the Holy Spirit to enable those things that we see in that vision to become reality here. We catch some glimpses of that. We capture some glimpses of the peace and the dissolving of barriers at the first responders that are there in floods and wildfires and in tornadoes and hurricanes. We see it in places like the Presbyterian Counseling Center in Daytona Beach, where people can go there to have their help rebuild their lives with skilled and understanding counselors that are not afraid to address the spiritual issues in people's lives. Courageous people speaking about truth and justice. We see it when people open up dialogue with people that are different. A number of years ago, when Diane worked at the VA clinic, one of the vets told her that getting older isn't for sissies. Well, tough times aren't for sissies either. But faith is for tough times. It is faith that gets us through our personal tough times of health issues, change in our financial condition, loss of a job, death of a loved one. But it is also faith that emboldens us with the power of the Holy Spirit to energize us when God calls us to confront the tough issues in our communities, whether it be health care, affordable housing, race relations, haves and have-nots. It's faith that God is with us in those tough times that enable us to get through. It's faith that sees the gap between the here and the now and the vision that John gives us. It is faith-filled people who wade into those tough times and work to close that gap. So tough times don't last, but tough people do. And faith-filled people do for those tough times that we all have in our personal lives, but also in dealing with the tough things we see going on around us in our communities. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you that we are not alone. You have, in fact, given us the Holy Spirit, and you enliven and inspire our faith. We thank you that you do enable men and women like us to speak your truth, to seek justice, to exercise mercy and compassion. And we thank you for that. So that when life gives us tough times, you give us the ability to move through them. For we ask in Jesus' name, amen.